All right. Dear friends, welcome back. Hour number two. This issue of the terahertz wand story is compounding almost by the day and becoming a very serious issue. Now, there are a lot of people who have written glowing testimonials about how they've been made better, if not whole, by this technology, which has not been certified by the FDA or any other government agency that I know of. It comes from where? China. There are also people who have written very compelling testimonials that they have been made worse. People are reporting that, gee, I felt great for a few days, then I stopped using it, or it just didn't work anymore. And so there was a social media site set up for the people who wish to register their very serious and sincere concerns about the overall benefits, which they don't seem to see, from this product, which may cost about 10 bucks to make in China. I don't know. They're being sold, there are three of them, $350, about $1,000-something, and then the top-end, top-of-the-line version is $3,000. So that's interesting. But what's really interesting is that it's a multi-level marketing hustle. And I use the word hustle from experience. I created, personally, years and years and years ago, two multi-level marketing companies. I know what I'm talking about. And the trick of multi-level marketing is to have everyone out there who falls for the pitch of whatever product or service it is sell to their family, their friends. It's called their hot market. Then they have a warm market. There used to be several different delineations about that. There are, in this country, probably at least 100 million Americans who have been made ill, damaged, or have been injured by the biological weapon injection campaign that is ongoing. I was at a store today, a Rite Aid. I walked by the pharmacy, and there was a little old lady there. I mean, she was in her 80s, and she was standing at the window where people go when they want to get injected. And she must have been in her 80s, and I happened to walk by. I was 10, 15 feet, and she said to the pharmacist, "Well, I think I'm going to pass on the Moderna version today and get the other one today." And so she went over and just sat her in a chair about 10 feet away against the wall, and I watched this pharmacist, and he walked over to a little refrigerated unit, glass doors in front of him, but you could see in there, and he opened it, and he reached down the bottom. There was an open box full of hypodermic syringes in a pile, and he grabbed one, turned around and walked over and just dropped it barehanded right on the counter. Now, it had solution in it. It was ready to inject, but very cavalier, very casual. So, all right, the point is here, multi-level marketing. People are being paid to sell these things. There is, and I have personal experience years and years ago, a lot of filthy, rotten greed involved with any multi-level marketing program. That said, there are some wonderful people involved who truly believe that what they're doing is providing some good on the planet. Okay? Now, unfortunately, this particular product seems to have really gotten people, they're heated up. They're selling these things, and some are even giving them away, realizing that they may end up with 10 or 20 sales after that. So we have a product that is truly not backed by the kind of science it should be. There are no long-term studies. It's been on the market for, what, I think a year, year and a half, something like that. We're going to get into that a little bit as we do our update tonight on it. And then we have Nurse Anne with us tonight and some astonishing information from her. But the most important thing is the people who had to start this social media group so they could post their experiences in the negative. These are not happy people who feel that they have been harmed by this device. and they are being harassed, attacked, disparaged, like I have never seen any other multi-level marketing product do to anybody. This is remarkable. Some of them have bought. Some of them, I guess, have had the product given to them by a friend who wanted to help. But if it doesn't work to their satisfaction, they feel that everyone has a right to know. So they have been going to this particular site. We've read several testimonials on both sides of the fence, by the way. And this site has been attacked. It was penetrated by at least a couple of moles, shall we say, who got in there. And we're trying to turn the dialogue around to make it a favorable site, at least balance the negatives. This is like war. So I've never seen anything like this before. It's quite unusual. One other note here is very simple. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you? This is crazy. I want to make one more little comment here, then I want you to step in. We have a video up of allegedly, and it's been checked out, and it did check out, a Communist Chinese Party official. He was screen left. On the right side of the screen were six little boxes with six other Communist Party members. And this guy on the left was, I've told you this story before, was talking about Americans and the injection program, right? And he said, we do have an antidote. Somebody asked him, one of the six asked him, is there an antidote for this thing, this COVID thing? He said, yes, we have an antidote for all of it, basically. He said, but we will never give it to the Americans, ever. They hate us. You've got to keep that in mind. Now, those of you in China right now listening, I know not all of you hate us, but the communists generally hate Americans, and they want us dead. So this device is coming from communist China, and there doesn't seem to be any talk anywhere about it being used by Chinese. Does that suggest anything to you? Think about it. Why are they exporting all this stuff to us, which has no long-term historical scientific work, and having us use it when they're not passing it around to all their people? I mean, if it's an anti-COVID protocol, and a lot of people who have had COVID have been injured, and it's supposed to help heal them, fine. The Chinese will be using it on their people. It doesn't seem to be happening. I'm not sure, but that's all I can determine from looking at it as I do. Now, biologically speaking, Erica is going to tell us what, if you look under our names and guests, there are six papers and documentation efforts made by people to explain that terahertz frequencies can do damage to biological organisms. And that damage is sometimes real bad. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is what, our fourth attempt to explain or shed some light on this device and the frequency that it's supposedly using. Terahertz is the bandwidth in between microwave and infrared. So it's a little bit of RF and a little bit of light-based type of frequencies, but it's high frequency, beginning generally at 300 gigahertz to 3,000. That's huge.
It's an enormous part of the spectrum, and we don't know what's in there. No one's done the work. If you crank up one increment in that spectrum, 300 to 3,000?
Yeah, 3,000.
You don't know.
300 to 3,000 gigahertz.
We have no idea what that's going to do to people over time. And in some cases, it's already been demonstrated that some people say that it has done the opposite of helping them. Others, and I repeat, have said it's been a great help. But underlying it all is money. This is being sold for money. Money, the root of all evil, the ultimate driver of fanatical salesmanship. Believe it. And one last thing, I'll get back to Erica. if somebody sells one of these to someone and it does end up harming them for whatever reason, and that person sues, who are they going to sue? The company in China with disclaimers all over the map? I doubt it. They're going to sue the person in the MLM downline who sold it to them or gave it
to them. Most likely. Yeah, most
so
likely. Because
people
are not even able to obtain a refund on these things if they're unhappy.
Complaints
with
about that, too. So you are exposing yourself when you sell any health-oriented item. All right? End of story. Go ahead.
So, yeah, this group that came into being approximately a week ago has now been put on pause because the people that founded it, that wanted to give a legitimate safe space, so to speak, for others to talk freely about their experiences with this product, are now being hunted down, stalked by some of the higher-ups in this organization. And sure enough, not surprisingly, apparently some shills or trolls had made their way into the group, probably with the intention of placating the people who are being injured to some degree, calming their ruffled feathers. I'm not sure, but some of the dialogue got pretty nasty from what I read, and consequently, the founders of the group decided to shut it down indefinitely for now, and until they can. Well, I don't know what they're waiting on. Here's what was said today. We have decided to pause this group due to conflict and someone here still sharing screenshots with the leaders of iTerra. He is actually messaging some of the group members, and we will not tolerate this type of behavior. We wanted a safe place, but unfortunately it is not safe right now. We will leave everything as a read-only, and once the studies from the UK and the USA are done, we will post here and let everyone make their own decision about the wand and if it is right for you in your healing journey. Now, I'm not sure what these studies are.
We don't have any idea what these studies are. And just
no,
keep
who's
in mind
funding them or what they're intending to reveal.
Who's funding them? How much are they being given? Who are they? Most everybody has a price. Remember that, too. I'm just putting that on the table. We don't know. I've seen scientific studies in the past that are total bullshit. It's just
crap.
Yeah,
that would have to be looked at with some scrutiny.
A neutral third party.
Right.
All right.
So yesterday, leading up to this latest decision to pause the group, there was this thread yesterday. We are trying to keep this group open for everyone to share their results, both good and bad. But some of you are disgusting. There is no other way to put it. Someone comments, and it's not the standards of the distributors. They are taking screenshots, and our members are being harassed. Please stop this disgusting behavior. I will continue to ban members, as this behavior is unacceptable. And
Yeah.
You got to start to wonder what's on the line here that's so
something,
important. That
it suggests that there's something else at work beside the filthy, rotten drive to make a buck.
Sure, all right, does.
That's capitalism. I get it. But there's something international here. This comes from China, with enormous disclaimers on it, which actually, according to the video we played Wednesday, one of them, is a joke, because the guy in the video showing this wand being demonstrated, ironically by the same guy who purports to be or seems to be the head of the company, he's using it on somebody's back. They were saying, you'll keep using this wand and see new kidneys, new lungs formed in your body, new glands. I mean, he was making it sound like it was direct from God. Crazy. Now, listen to this.
This bandwidth, this terahertz bandwidth, I just would advise extreme caution because we don't know a lot about it. What preliminary research has been done indicates that it does have biological effects. At the level of the DNA, it can mobilize stem cells. And as we said the other night, it may be a situation where these people who have received these injections, these gene poisons,
bioweapons,
these nanomaterials get filtered down to the bone marrow. This is part of the way they circulate throughout the body. And we know from the biodistribution studies with the lipid nanoparticles that these things do, to some degree, end up in the bone marrow. And this is where your stem cells are, essentially.
Remember, let me say this. Remember, all of you, if you listened Wednesday, if you didn't, the program's up there. One of the big claims was that these terahertz, interesting word, hertz. These terahertz frequencies go into the bone marrow and awaken your stem cells and turn them out into the body to regenerate and repair. And he did say new kidneys, new lungs, new glands, new all kinds of things would be the result. But he mentioned stem cells in particular. Please look under our names and guests and look at the stories there. Take them very seriously. Go ahead. Anything else? And I'll read this Amber thing next.
Well, just if these vax-injured people have stem cells that have been damaged or corrupted by the nanomaterials, and it might just be the lipid nanoparticles and these other nano-sized metals that have been found in these vials or possibly even the mRNA, then mobilizing those stem cells may have disastrous consequences. Because when they start to circulate, they're not regenerating organs and tissues as healthy stem cells would be doing. No, they'd be seeding cancer or other, malfunctioning organs. They're not the kind of stem cells that you want to be mobilizing. So that's just one possibility that maybe that's happening here. A number of these people have neurological damage, and we don't know what these pulsations are doing for nerves. Nerves are exquisitely sensitive to changes in voltage and ions going across their membranes. It may be a situation where it's increasing the oxygen levels in cells with damaged mitochondria. If your mitochondria is damaged and all of a sudden you flood those cells with oxygen, you've got a fire on your hands. This oxygen is not beneficial. It's actually toxic. So it may be a situation where people are experiencing a certain form of oxygen toxicity. We don't know.
We don't know. But this issue is very important, the stem cell issue. There's several important issues. And I want to let me please direct you over to the archive on the right side of the homepage. The webmaster did not get these six stories under our names and guests. I want to tell you where to find it. Look at the top. Look, you know where to look. It's the archive of all the stories about the COVID vaccine. Countdown 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number 6, hard science questioning wisdom of using any terahertz device on the human body. Hard science questioning wisdom of using any terahertz device on the human body. Sixth item down, it's right there. And on that click, you'll find all six stories that I mentioned. Let me just read the titles here real quick. How terahertz waves tear apart DNA. Did you hear that? How terahertz waves tear apart DNA. This is astonishing. Second one, terahertz radiation can disrupt proteins in living cells. Do you want to disrupt your proteins, which are already being disrupted by the spike protein to the extent that they're creating amyloid growths, plaques, clots? You want to mess with your proteins? Cancer stem cells and their relation to tumor biology is another good piece. Mammalian stem cells reprogramming in response to terahertz radiation. Mammalian stem cells reprogramming in relation to terahertz radiation. Terahertz zaps altered gene activity in stem cells. terahertz zaps and alter gene activity in stem cells? You really want to be messing with your stem cells? Continuous wave irradiation at 0.1 terahertz facilitates transmembrane transport of small molecules. All right, there are six of them there. The first one is crucial. Let's spend just a minute on this one, Erica, and then I'll read that last piece, how terahertz waves tear apart DNA.
Right, okay, so this apparently was published in 2009, so that's a good 10 years ago. And it basically says the same thing that we've been saying, is that, you know, what we once thought was benign or inert when it comes to biological systems, it's not so. There, even though it's not ionizing radiation, there are changes that are still happening due to the waves, the propagation of the wave, the heating of the water molecules, the change in the molecular configuration with the water molecules, membrane permeability. But this thing in particular pertains to the DNA, and it's talking about how it will cause it to unwind, which makes it very vulnerable to being mutated, essentially. I wouldn't want to be playing around with something like that. You know, right. With this thing, you can get most, I would say, or very similar therapeutic effects, pain relief and that sort of thing, accelerated healing, from simply infrared or near-infrared. And much, much more is known about that. I wouldn't be messing with terahertz frequencies under any condition right now, any circumstances. It's nuts. Somebody did compare the wand with a frequency meter. They measured the amount of radiation that was leaking from their microwave oven and got the reading on the EMF meter and then did the same type of reading with the wand, and it was more or less the same. So that tells me the wand's putting out microwave radiation. I mean, do you really want to be radiating or microwaving various body parts? I mean, we know what it does to food.
Possibility of stem cells being deformed and
mutated,
maybe ending up with oncogenic properties after that,
yep,
too?
You got it.
That's cancer.
Misfolded
friends.
Proteins.
Potential from a misfolded protein. Not saying that that's what these products are doing. I'm just saying that when you mess with stem cells, you're messing with your future.
Yeah, and by the way, we had another article up there, I think, regarding cancer stem cells. And cancer stem cells are notoriously resistant to all kinds of treatments. And that's potentially what you could be dealing with, you know, with these injections that people have taken, that it,
right.
You know, when it gets into the bone marrow, it can poison the stem cells, and there is evidence that that is happening. Once those things start to proliferate, go out into circulation and try to seed themselves in these organs that have been damaged, they could be actually seeding cancer. And I don't know, maybe that is why we're seeing this explosion of strange cancers all over the body all at the same time.
Never
the stem cells
like
are being signaled to go to those areas to repair them, mm-hmm. But because the stem cells themselves are damaged, they can't do the job.
Okay, again, on the right side of the homepage, look for the three pictures of the alleged spike protein. The spike protein prion amyloid bioweapon genocide is the title of it in green. Six items. Number six, hard science questioning the wisdom of using any terahertz device on the human body. Six articles there for you to look at and consider. All right, last thing we're going to read, then we're going to bring Nurse Anne on. This is following the thread Erica was reading. It is blatantly clear to me, period, writes this person. This, meaning the wand, is an extension of the jab. This is her opinion. The amount of protection and censorship that exists around these wands screams that something is very wrong. I have not had the you-know-what, the jab. I have not bought the wand. I have, however, followed and friended those who were injured and also those who were against the jab. One of the injured, FB is for Facebook, friends, started selling the wand, and then she got really ugly to those expressing any sort of questioning. I just watched and did not comment. Then someone who I had been friends with for almost 2 years, a professed Christian with a huge online following, came out that she would be selling the wand. I commented very circumspectly that she should be cautious, and then linked both of Sean's and Angelia's videos on the subject, or Angelia. I was then quickly blocked by this sister in Christ. Then not long after that, I was also blocked by the vax-injured friend for no apparent reason. They clearly communicated that I was skeptical and sharing any real dissent from those who had actually used it. There is no difference than Facebook censoring and deleting groups sharing their individual experiences. Be very cautious with this company. All right, that's another comment. Yeah. So this is really a troubling issue for many reasons, and we have presented the information to you for your edification, your education. And again, when I found out that this was multi-level marketing, I cringed. Those I have seen more fanatics in MLM than I've seen in any other discipline of sales. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying I have been involved with it. This goes back a long time, and I've seen it. And these people are on a mission. They're messianic.
And I would say, too, that they are, you know, this timing is awfully convenient in that, you know, we now have people who have been suffering the consequences of these injections for some, almost 2 years.
Two years.
So they are, you know, desperate as desperate can be for some kind of remedy or relief. You know, in terms of any regulatory agency overseeing what's going on in the marketplace, there isn't any. The FDA is not going to do anything about these people. And I have to think that they're taking full advantage of this.
Well, if your goal is to help people and make money in the process, it's pretty easy to excuse pushing real hard in this business. And there are a lot of people pushing very hard in it. Okay, well, we've presented the material to you. Now it's up to you. Be careful. That's just a word from both of us. Be careful. Okay. Nurse Ann is back with us tonight. We're very grateful to have her on. She's been a professional of the highest caliber for well over 30 years. She's a remarkable person. And we have a photograph in guests under our names tonight we're going to be looking at, and it is a stunner. We don't have her yet? Okay. We're connecting with you right now, Nurse Ann, if you're listening. So this picture, let me just do a little setup on this picture. You can find it easy enough. Just go to guests and look under our second hour. It's the bottom link. Astonishing photo of amyloid clot material taken out of a person by a post-surgical abdominal drain, a tube, which is under a little bit of negative pressure. It's a suction device. And this was the liquid in the stomach's, well, the abdominal cavity of the patient. Now, take a look at that picture. Nurse Ann is going to explain this in more detail for us here in just a minute. She works in a hospital in New York, 700-bed hospital. She is extraordinary in her experience, and I think we have her now. Are you there, Nurse Ann? We don't have her yet. Okay. Hopefully we've got her. Okay, very good. Hello. Thanks, Todd. Hi, Nurse Ann. Welcome back.
Hello. How are you, Jeff and Erica?
We're overwhelmed. We're okay.
Me too.
It's crazy out there. Yeah. We've been trying to track this wand, terahertz wand thing, and it's quite a story. But anyhow, now you have been just, I guess you just got off a several day shift. How many days on were you?
I worked three last week, and I was actually very sick after working them. And then I went in on Monday night and I worked my last shift. And so my assignment at this facility has ended.
Oh, wow.
Well, first of all, are you better now? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. What happened is we both got the flu, and then I went back to work probably too soon after, and so I just wasn't feeling great after my shift on Monday night. So, I'm doing good now. It's just I was very fatigued and just wore down. But it just could be the flu, too. But I'm kind of relieved to have the assignment finished with, especially this one.
Well, you've been through hell there, and it's been very difficult on you, as we know. Anybody listening knows that. Okay, now let's go right to this picture, if we can. And all of you, go into Guests, look for Jeff and Erica, second link under that, click on that, and look at this picture. And Nurse Ann provided this picture. For those of you who can't see it, it looks like long strands, tubular in shape in some cases, and then other rather just amorphous shapes piled up next to it. When someone has abdominal surgery or any major surgery of the torso, they usually put a drain in there. It could be worked by gravity or it can be a suction drain, whatever. Tell us what we're looking at in terms of the drain. How did the drain work? Where was it placed? And what was the surgical procedure done on this gentleman?
Okay, so the gentleman in question, he came in on early November with complaints of rectal bleeding. And following a colonoscopy, they found that he had a colonic mass and severe stenosis of his sigmoid colon. So the surgery he went for was an exploratory lap. So they went in basically saying, okay, we're not sure what we're going to find, so we're going to do an exploratory lap and see what we're actually dealing with. So they went in and they did a peritoneal implant. They did what's called a mucus fistula. He had bilateral ureteral CAT stents put in his kidneys, in his ureters. And then he had a total abdominal colectomy, which basically they ended up going in, taking out part of his bowel, and then putting on a colectomy bag in the lower part of his abdomen. And so he had multiple surgeries done while he was on the operating table.
Gee. Yeah.
And so due to all the level of abdominal surgery, it was a huge surgery. He was on the operating table for hours. And because the surgery was such a huge and vast amount of complications with multiple organs involved, they had quite a lot of drainage. And so what usually happens then is they'll put in one or two drains. And in his scenario, he actually had two drains, and then he had the ileostomy bag, and then he had the mucus fistula drain bag as well. So he had a lot of stuff draining from the abdominal cavity in addition to these two particular drains. They're called Jackson-Pratt drains. And for any nurses out there, they'll know they're drains that are like compressed. They're like work as like on a suction or a vacuum. And as they fill up, they get less and less of a suction, and you have to make sure you keep draining them, because otherwise the fluid will stop draining if the tube is allowed to overfill. And it defeats the purpose of why the drain is there in the first place. So the surgery, the surgeons will generally write that the drains, first post-op, you're draining those drains every hour religiously because they're monitoring the amount of output that goes out of those drains. Everything, every drain that that he's draining from is emptied out and measured every hour. And then they get a little bit more lax as the disease goes on. But and then they're monitoring his urine output and they're monitoring his intake based on what we're giving him, which is generally you're not allowed to eat after surgery, like something like as big as that. So you're monitoring the fluids that we're pumping in to the body to make sure that he remains hemodynamically stable.
Got it.
So we have multiple drains on him at the one time. And that's not unusual in the area where I was working on this particular assignment. Not unusual to have that many drains and not unusual for the surgery to be as invasive as it is. But what is unusual was what I saw come out of that drain. And there were two Jackson Pratt drains, those two drains that actually work like a vacuum. One of them was draining what they call serosanguinous drainage. Serosanguinous drainage is just a medical term of saying it's a little bit of clear solution mixed with some blood. That's all that is. That's what that terminology means.
Mm-hmm.
Equally so, the other drain was draining similar stuff coming out, the serosanguinous drainage, but it was also draining this. So I came on shift, and the drains prior to me coming on at 7. At 8, I go in. At 8 p.m., I go in to empty out the drains and write down all of the outputs. And in that drain was this big, long sliver of initially I described it as a worm. And I was trying to squeeze the stuff out of the drain to get it out because you have to measure it. And it came out pretty easy, actually. It just kind of slid out. Once it started going out, it started sliding out. And it went on for, I would say, a good 12 inches off in length. So I was like, oh, my gosh. And never had seen this before on any other patient. So I said, oh, my gosh. And the patient goes, what? And I go, oh, it's just you have a lot of drainage. Like, I didn't want him to know at this point because I didn't want him to know what I had discovered. So anyway, I said, okay, I'm just going to put it in the bathroom, close the door, keep it, and then I'm going to go get the doctor, the surgeon who was on the unit at that time. We have surgeons and residents and PAs and nurse practitioners on the unit for this particular hospital. So I go and I grab the surgeon and I say, you know, something really weird came out of this person's tube, and I tried to explain it. And he says, well, I'm not going to get as excited about it as you. And I don't think I was getting excited, but I was saying, I think you probably should look at this, buddy. And so he says, okay, I'll go and I'll come in the room and I'll take it. We'll take a look and maybe I'll take a picture, you know. So he comes in and he looks at the at what I had now in a collection cup, or if you were to send a specimen, because I was fully expecting he was going to order me to have it sent down to the lab to be analyzed. And he goes, yeah, I don't know what that is. And I said, but don't you think we should, like, send it down to the lab to have it analyzed at least? He goes, no, I don't think so. I don't think it needs to. And so he walked away. And I was like, this can't be happening. So I was like, forget it. I knew he was leaving. I knew his shift was over soon. So I knew he was leaving. So I said, heck, I'll try with somebody else who's coming on and taking over from him.
Mm-hmm.
So two female providers come on. One's a nurse practitioner, one was a resident. And so she comes on, and I go and I tell these two women. I said, listen, you know, this unusual stuff came out of this Jackson Pratt. I think you should see it. And so they go, well, we did see the picture. So the guy did share the picture with them previously. And I said, maybe you should see it and just see what you think. So they come on in and they look at it. Now the patient now saw three doctors come through this room, our providers, medical providers, come through his room and into the bathroom. So he knows now something's going on. and then they're like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, we don't know what it is. And they all admit to we don't know what it is kind of thing. But I don't think we'll do, we'll just, we won't do anything about it tonight kind of thing. And hold on to it. Maybe the surgeon will want to see it in the morning, right? So that's three people. That's three medical providers that have blown me off. And so in the morning, I'm like itching at the bit, waiting for the surgeon to come around the corner, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm like ready. And So this young, blonde, 20-something-year-old comes up, I'm like, I don't have a prayer. This is what I'm thinking. I don't have a prayer. So anyway, she goes into the patient's room. I'm hot on her heels, right? And I'm telling her how the patient did throughout the night and all of this. And then I said, could you have a minute? Could you just take a look at this? Because she hadn't gone to talk to any of the other doctors yet. So I said, I want to let you know, when I came on shift last night, an hour after my shift, this is what came out of this person's Jackson Pratt drain. And she's looking at it and she goes, that is so odd. And I said, have you ever seen anything like this? And she said, no. And I said, don't you think we should have it analyzed? She goes, yeah, I'll put it in an order for it. And she said, send it down right away. And so I end up sending it down. I'm waiting, I don't know how many days, for it to come before I get the results. I was actually sent to different units on different nights. And then the last night I worked, which was Monday night, I was sent to another unit to work, and I called down to my unit that I was normally working on, where this patient had been and still is, and I said, you know, did the results of that specimen come back to one of the nurses that I'm very friendly with? And she said, yes. She goes, why? And I go, can you open it up, just read what it says? And there was a whole load of, like, mentions of different cells and things break down and serous fluid and all this. And I go, what does it say on the impression, though? What is what it's the ultimate? What are they saying? And she goes, seems consistent with an amyloid clot.
So we're looking at is a proteinaceous mass here, long strings, so to speak, that came out of the tube, and then some less well-defined whitish pieces. These are made of misfolded proteins, which create little teeny tiny invisible fibrils, which compound and aggregate and become more of a mass. But the question I have is, this started out as a liquid in this guy's abdominal cavity, and how did it clot up in the tube, or was it already in this form and somehow made its way into the tube, even though it was like sludge? I don't understand, but what I'm seeing here is horrific. I don't know what other word to use. If this is what's floating around in the liquid in this guy's, maybe it is the liquid in his body, he's done. And we've said this so many times on the program, these amyloid growths, plaques, clots, masses, can occur anywhere in your body where there's blood or has been blood or that there is some other way for a spike protein to get to start these proteins from being normal. They cause them to misfold. And the sad thing is, the normal proteins in your body, which are misfolded by the spike, then in and of themselves go on to cause other misfolding of proteins wherever they run into another protein. So it's a cascade. It doesn't all have to be done by the spike. That's the point. Once the spike creates this cascade of misfolded proteins, they continue on and on, apparently, unendingly, causing other proteins to misfold. This is crazy, but that's what we're dealing with here. So what do you think, Anne? Is this guy's abdominal cavity just full of this sludge and it managed to get into the tube of the drain? Or did this turn somehow when it was in the tube, did it coagulate even more?
No, I honestly think it was already in his abdomen and it actually flowed into the drain with the amount of suction that was coming from the...
So you sucked out the sludge from his abdominal cavity. It was sucked out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it is in, like, that's the picture is kind of blown up to show the image of it, but it is actually narrow enough to have gone through the tube and into the JP. And it actually, in the area where I drained it, it was still slender enough to come through so I could actually drain it. And so
how
then,
many shots
and
did,
that was the other thing. And the other thing is that he had a blood clot in the other one. So he had a blood clot in the other one, but the blood clot was all irregular shaped and odd, you know, kind of like oddball, like it was like a bunch of cells together that I couldn't get to drain out of the tube. So it just kind of just stayed in there, in the bulb part of it. I couldn't squeeze the actual blood clot out on the other one. But I could actually get this thing to come out. And actually, if it hadn't come out as easy as it did, and it actually did come out real easy, I described it like a worm. But because it's kind of silky, slivery kind of texture to it. And the other thing was is I went and I got a knife, like a butter knife, and I was trying to cut it with the butter knife, and it wouldn't actually cut. It wouldn't, the butter knife was like a plastic knife anyway. But it had a serrated edge, but it wouldn't really cut. So I was like, well, if that had been a blood clot, it should just, smash up. You should be able to break that clot up, no problem. Well, this thing wasn't cutting, but now I didn't have a great knife either, let's be honest there. But either, and if it had been just a true blood clot, it would have actually broken down for me really easy. And it came out in one piece. It just once it started flowing out of the bulb, it just continued to go. I was like mortified because I was actually thinking, is this thing alive? You know, it really, really freaked me out because I had never seen it. I mean, I'd heard about it many, many times. I know they saw them on autopsies a million times, but I had never seen it on a live person.
How many shots did he have?
How many shots had the guy? He had a total of five, and then he had the bivalent flu vaccine as well.
Oh, he's all set. Yeah. These are the results.
And how old was he?
70. He was 75.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did he seem otherwise? Was he cognizant?
No, that's a great question, because that night he was. He was having some family issues. He told me he wasn't talking to his son anymore. But he had a grandson, and his grandson's wife agreed to take care of him after the surgery was over. And the anticipation was that he was going to be leaving the hospital shortly after this ordeal. And then they came back and they told him that he had pancreatic cancer is what he was told he had too. So because biopsies were sent and everything. And so the next night I had him, he was in wicked bad form. He was really mad with the world. Like he just wanted to hit somebody. He was just ticked off. And then his mood and his demeanor changed the next couple And there was periods of confusion, which he hadn't had before. He never had that before. Because he was always, I was documenting, he was alert, he was oriented, he was doing everything appropriate, he was answering questions correctly, he was having good conversations with me, and even right up to the, where he was even having periods of confusion, he was getting annoyed because he would be, I think he was trying to, like, fight something, but he couldn't fight it. He'd get the year wrong, and something he had been getting completely right for days. And just things like that. But yeah, his demeanor changed after a couple of days after that.
Well, Anne, I don't know. This doesn't augur well for the vaxxed. It's another example. He could have been growing this stuff for months. We don't know. And yet again, when you think about it, that this is being sucked out of his abdomen. This is his.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be 75% water. It doesn't look like water to me.
No. And in answer to the question on the vax, he got in April of 2021, he got Moderna. A month later, he got another one of Moderna. In November of 2021, he got another Moderna. On 4/21/22, he got another Moderna. And then he got bivalent booster back on 9/16/22, and then he got the flu vaccine in the same month.
Jeez. Wow. Well, they got their money's worth out of him, for sure.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
And he's still alive, and he's the full code, and this isn't going... Yeah, this is very, very reckless now. Because anything could happen for him.
Wow.
I mean, he's got so many complications at this point.
I well understand that. We're very glad that you're out of there. You've put your best into that job for many people. You've made a difference. But in the long run, you've got to take care of yourself, and you need to be in a happier environment than that.
Yeah, I agree. It was very, very, this was a very tough assignment. It was 3 months, and it was the one time where I went in and I said, I'm a nurse and I can't help these people. It's too late.
You made that point long time ago. When you train for this profession, the idea is you nurse people back to health. At least nurse them back to where they can leave and live a reasonable life, conditional upon what they're suffering from. But now it's all downhill, it seems like, for 95% of the patients. They're on the way out. Some in slow motion, some in fast motion, but they're not doing better.
No, they're very, very sick. We have a very sick population now.
We take care of one item, and they might have 8 or 10 others that are subclinical, that are growing and getting worse. Who knows? This is going to be a bad next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Horrible. And anyhow, Merry Christmas to you, Anne.
Thank you. And you too.
Thank you, Anne. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And rest up.
I'm going to look forward to it. I'm looking to a really great Christmas.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Mm-hmm. You be well. Yeah. We'll talk. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Wow. You just think about it. All these people are—they're dying. They're just dying. They're not going to get better.
It's
so horrific.
It's the cognitive dissonance, though, with these people not understanding why they're having the problems that they're having is the most bewildering part of it.
And even if they do have the pieces, there's a terminal hesitancy to put them together. They don't want to do it. I understand that.
No.
Who wants to admit that they've killed themselves? Nobody.
No.
So
no.
It's horrible. Well, I'm glad she's out of there. I didn't know. That's good.
Yeah, she's earned a break, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, so have you. Go get some shut-eye.
Okay.
Take it easy. Thanks. Wonderful job. We're doing, I don't know what else we can do. We work on this awfully hard. You're just heroic in the way you're pulling this information together. And we're putting it out there. It's called journalism. And that's in this case, medical journalism, I guess. But we just want people to have the full picture so they can make a fuller decision. They deserve it.